Hello, and welcome to our very first ACHE SoCal Region Talk with Tricia. This podcast was created in order to provide meaningful insights from innovative leaders in the world of healthcare management and leadership. To learn more, please visit us at achesocal.org. It is my distinct privilege and honor to introduce your host, Dr. Tricia Kassab. Dr. Kassab is an RN and has served as a healthcare executive for the last two decades. These days, she focuses her efforts on academia and supports students in their healthcare journey. As the region of the ACHE SoCal and SOHL, Dr. Kassab advises and supports chapter leaders of ACHE SoCal and SOHL by providing strategic direction while integrating with higher education networks. She also provides outreach to leaders in the community to participate in ACHE. She promotes DEI by supporting partnerships and welcomes and assists members with ACHE programs. She identifies the region award winners while recognizing members for their contributions to ACHE and the healthcare industry. She also provides recommendations for members to serve on various ACHE committees. And last but certainly not least, she plays a key role in identifying innovative members and speakers, as well as thought-provoking leaders that are paramount to driving healthcare improvements. Without further ado, let me be the first to welcome your host, Dr. Tricia Kassab. Welcome, Tricia.
Well, thank you, Siraj. Welcome, everybody. As Siraj has shared, a key role of the region is to identify innovative thought leaders to drive healthcare improvements. It is my humbling honor to introduce our guest today, Dr. Rusana Wallapil. She is the healthcare consultant and founder of Neve. Neve Health is a consultancy company on a mission to help build a sustainable and equitable healthcare ecosystem through innovative strategies that identify challenges in artificial intelligence. So welcome, Dr. Wallapil. Please share with us a little bit about your background, please.
Hey, thank you for that kind introduction and for inviting me here today. It's an honor to be here as your first guest here on our podcast, Dr. Kassab. So I think at the core, I'm an equity-focused, service-oriented, data-driven individual. So my life and my work reflects that. So I was always interested in healthcare, and after initially working as an engineer, I moved to biomedical engineering to focus on my PhD, which was in deep brain stimulation in Parkinson's disease, where I honed my skills in medical imaging technologies, medical devices, and neural nets. From there, I moved on to build a lab to study autonomic dysfunction in Parkinson's disease. So for a number of years, that was what I did as a clinical research neuroscientist. My focus was utilizing heart rate variability and other non-invasive tools to conduct research in collaboration with national institutions and sleep clinics. Then I took a bit of a trajectory change, and about 10 years ago, into the social enterprise world, into the B Corp world. And on the way, a few opportunities came along with leading nonprofit organizations, et cetera, and I had already started going back to sustainability and equity-focused work, and I kept up with the healthcare trends, and in the beginning of 2019 is when I started my healthcare consultancy, or started the thought of having the healthcare consultancy focusing on AI and health equity work, and so I have now Neve Health focusing on providing advisory services to the healthcare industry on ethical and responsible AI. I'm also a big believer in public service. So I serve on the Hospital Supplier Diversity Commission at California Department of Healthcare Access and Information. Good to be here.
Thank you, Dr. Wallapil. That's very exciting. What a great background. So let me ask you this question. You know, you started really looking at AI from 2019, from what I'm hearing. From your perspective, how do you define artificial intelligence?
Well, artificial intelligence has been around for a long time. I did neural nets back in graduate school. Artificial intelligence is a field of developing computers that are capable of behaving in ways that sort of mimic human beings. So that is the whole premise of artificial intelligence, that they are intelligence, but in an artificial form. So artificial intelligence takes a set of data, a human trains, puts in this set of data to train an algorithm so that for any problem that you have, it sort of thinks like a human or a neural net and develops solutions to it. So you keep training the system and it comes up with a solution and it learns from itself. So it iterates by itself. So it's it learns on its errors and it comes up with a pretty good solution in the end. And then we have subdivisions of artificial intelligence is this big bucket and these subdivisions, which is machine learning, natural language processing, et cetera, et cetera.
Fascinating. Really, AI really, you know, thinks like a human. It's fascinating as you're taking a look at the data. So Dr. Wallapil, tell us what you currently do with AI, healthcare, and equity.
So I founded Neve as a healthcare consultancy to provide advisory services to the health and hospital industry. So essentially, ethical AI for digital health. So since we know that healthcare is a very complex ecosystem, right? So you add AI to that mix and it becomes even more complex. So one of my goals is to support leaders navigate this complex intersection of healthcare, artificial intelligence, business practices, and ethics. So a lot of the work I do now starts with in-depth conversations with the healthcare leadership across the ecosystem, from startups, VCs, to hospital executives and policy and research leadership. So awareness is the first key of the good and the ugly aspects of any solution is key to implementing ethical and trustworthy AI. So now we know that nearly 60 to 80% of individual health is also impacted by social determinants of health, you know, those conditions like healthcare, education, community context, socioeconomic status, et cetera. So addressing that is very important and it's part of the work that I do as well. So ethical, privacy, bias consideration in digital health products is an important factor that contributes to an equitable healthcare system. So business leaders, healthcare leaders need to make strategic decisions in their journey and in their organizations, and the right analytics is needed for that. And we help with that as well. And as a data geek and having a passion for health equity, I try to create educational webinars and white papers for the general public, as well as those of us who are involved in healthcare in particular. So you can find some of my talks on my website as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Dr. Wallapil. So interesting, you know, you're right. You know, it's really to focus on healthcare and integrating strategic decisions. Tell me your thoughts about the state of AI in healthcare currently. What are your thoughts about that?
Wow, isn't it a fascinating and exciting time now for AI and machine learning across the world and across all industries and all walks of life? The speed with which AI solutions are being integrated in healthcare is just incredible. So AI solutions are capable of making sense of enormous amounts of data. They are fast, they are efficient, and if they are built and implemented right, they're very effective. So we see in healthcare a lot of things happening with AI. It's permeated almost all aspects of healthcare. In direct healthcare, we see the impact in diagnosis, right? So in medical imaging, AI is more or less widely used in radiology, cancer detection. It's also used in treatment delivery. And since one of the key aspects of AI is to boost automation, so in a health system, we see in medical practice that it is being used in clinical decision support, in healthcare management, in the electronic health records, as well as even in patient interface. And in pharma too, in clinical trial support, drug discovery, how fast did we get to the COVID vaccines, right? We had COVID vaccine development at an unseen rate because of the investments that had been made in digitization and the use of AI. It's immensely useful in drug safety, optimization. And in the recent year or so, we have seen this enormous boost in generative AI. And it has been used more and more in the health systems. For example, Microsoft and Epic are working with GPT-4 to integrate AI into the electronic health records. Since it's so good at looking at trends and searching and regurgitating vast amounts of data within a fraction of a second, integrating this generative AI into clinical workforce, it just frees up the clinicians and the other workforce time so that they can focus on critical clinical duties, right? So you could, for example, the use cases are, that's being tested right now, is clinicians are able to draft responses when treating asynchronously with patients using generative AI. Another one is to query patient data. And depending on what search criteria has been put in into those query, it would recommend different metrics. It could be new discoveries within one patient or within a population of patients, even financial trends. So it's really fascinating now, and it's taken off a life of its own, sort of.
Wow. I'm just sitting here with, you know, going, this is amazing, you know, as we think about, you know, the acceleration of knowledge, you know, with mm-hmm. AI. I'm truly fascinated, you know, with how GPT and AI is now, you know, we're integrating into the electronic health records and what that's going to mean to the clinical workflows, right, to our providers and to our staff. Talk about fascinating. What do you see as some of the challenges of AI? What do you see as some of the challenges of AI in our healthcare settings? Just kind of curious.
So many of the challenges you find with healthcare with AI is the same as any digital data and digital systems. So when we normally think of challenges in healthcare settings, privacy comes to forefront, right? So they're usually at the very top. What data is being collected? How is it collected? How is it stored? Where is it stored? And what is being done to keep it safe? So data breaches and hacks happen all the time. And that puts patients' security at risk. So we have seen from 2018, I believe, to 2022, there was a paper, an increase in data hacks of 93%. That's huge. And with AI being integrated in healthcare system, so a breach or hack means that it's not just the patient data that is being hacked and that is being at risk, but it means that it could also make the system, the entire system, vulnerable by potentially interfering with the algorithm itself, the solution itself, and changing its intended behavior. So that is one issue. The other issues are with data itself, how the algorithm works, the biases in data in these solutions. So there are several aspects of it, and these biases could creep in any number of ways. One is that data itself is biased, right? And an algorithm is only good as the data it is trained on. And so a lack of complete set of data to train the algorithm, if it's not representative, it includes bias. For example, most, if you're taking, I'll give you a couple of examples, which is one is if you take psychology research studies, for example, it includes results from, a lot of the studies includes results from undergraduate students, which are a very specific group, and they do not represent the whole population. Or in pharmaceutical studies, for the longest time, it comprised of data from predominantly white men, which means that the results these solutions come up with aren't going to be applicable to the whole general population. So it could even be inappropriate and even harmful to some populations, such as minorities. And the second thing that is influenced by is people, because of our own unconscious errors that we have, cognitive biases and prejudices. So AI sort of inherits these human biases, because we are training the training data that the human assigns it, right? So then the algorithm itself becomes biased. So these cognitive bias could seep into the machine learning algorithms via either the designer unknowingly introducing them into the model, or via the training set being inappropriate. And then there is the whole issue of the inherent nature of the AI models, which is that it is iterative, it learns from itself. So if it is learning the wrong thing, that is going to be exaggerated. And then AI has, we have seen governance issues with the with the things that have been going on with OpenAI and things like that, as well as there are transparency and explainability issues. Because sometimes we don't understand how an algorithm or the model works at all, how it came out to be with the decision it came out actually with.
Absolutely. How interesting. You know, we're really thinking about the whole notion of bias. I'll get back to you in a moment about that, Dr. Wallop-Hill. So first, what are some of the ethical issues, including the positive and negative outcomes of AI? Like, what should we as healthcare professionals be looking at?
Some of it is what we just talked about, which is the privacy concerns and security risk. Anything that's positive and negative, any of these concerns, both have a positive and a negative outcome. It could be. So there are challenges and the same as opportunities. Number one would be the privacy concerns and security risks. So any of the improper handling of data raises concerns about the privacy. However, if we implement robust data protection measures and anonymization techniques, it can actually enhance privacy. Then there is a question of bias and fairness. That's a huge ethical issue. So we need to be careful that AI algorithms don't inherit all these biases, that we strive for fairness by actively addressing these biases, employing diverse and representative data sets, and mitigating these discriminatory impacts. Then we need to make sure that the model itself is, or the data itself is, transparent, and that it can explain how the model, the solutions came to be, how it came to those decisions. And AI is very useful in making an autonomous system and in decision making. So one of the outcomes, negative outcomes, could be that the AI system with automatic decision making capacities raises concerns about accountability, who's accountable, who's responsible if the decisions are being made by the AI. And on the other hand, if we implement responsible AI governance and with clear guidelines and a human oversight, we ensure that these ethical boundaries aren't crossed and that aligns with our social values and in an organization, the organization's values. Another one is the societal impact, right? We need to make sure that we don't have unequal access to AI technologies in the society. So we have to ensure equitable access to AI. And then there is a very different challenge, which is the dual use dilemma. So AI may be developed for one particular industry, and by the time it comes to another industry, its use is completely different, and it could be repurposed for malicious intents. So these are things, because AI is never developed solely for the healthcare industry, right? It's a technology, it's a solution that's being generated, and we can narrow it down to the healthcare industry, but the whole model itself exists.
Yeah, very, very good points. I mean, you're bringing up some really very interesting points. I think the first thing, you know, I heard you say is AI governance. You know, I wonder how many healthcare organizations have integrated AI governance in their strategic plan, number one. Number two, how are our chief information officers, our IT departments, how are they integrated, right, in taking a look at some of these key issues? So from your perspective, how will we engage healthcare leaders in the use of AI? What are your thoughts?
I love that question on engaging healthcare leaders in the use of AI. I think engagement from top down is critical, not only in terms of equity and ethics in healthcare and improving quality of care, but also in terms of business risk management and providing excellent customer service. It helps in improving the overall human experience, right? So the healthcare leaders are in a very unique position to influence how AI is being used in their organization. So what tools are being utilized in delivering healthcare to their patients? How are these tools being deployed? What characteristics do they have? And that they are compliant with all applicable laws. So one of the things I think they have to do is should be involved proactively in the use of AI within their entire healthcare ecosystem. So nationally, we see that 75% of consumers are very wary of AI in some form, and that actually translates to physicians too. So there was a study which they said 2 in 3 physicians are concerned about AI driving diagnoses and treatment decisions. So for me, the number one thing is to have knowledge of AI among leaders. It's necessary to instill confidence in the healthcare system. So education and awareness for the leaders, as well as training and skill development for their workforce. It is necessary to build the skills to understand, implement, and manage AI solutions within their own organizations. Things can change very fast in the AI world, so this continuous sort of education is absolutely necessary. The second point is that they have to be regulatory compliant, so constantly be aware of what changes are today itself. There was the news that European Union has brought forth is EU AI Act. It's a regulation which is so far the most comprehensive we have. It's they are very way ahead. So it classifies risks and enforces transparency, and it actually penalizes financially companies for non-compliance. So these are things that we have to be careful about, that the leader knows what the regulatory compliance needs are. And these are, right, Dr. Kassab, what you said. I mean, within the business framework itself, within the business plan itself, there should be a component for AI specifically, the governance portion of it, the compliance portion of it, the quality control portion of it. So data governance and privacy is huge. They need to assure the workforce and the patient community that they address these concerns and misconceptions. And one of the big things, I think, is that healthcare leaders should have a collaborative approach to healthcare, right? Have an open dialogue and actively foster collaboration and partnerships between other healthcare leaders, AI experts, technology providers, even ethicists and individuals like that. So this helps in co-creating solutions as challenges arise. And who knows, we might even prevent one if we take our time. So engage in forums and conferences, things like that. It could be a good idea to even pilot AI solutions, right, before it's being implemented organization-wide, if it's possible at all. And you could tailor some of the AI solutions to meet very specific needs, so not being exposed to the whole organization. This helps manage risk, I think.
Dr. Wallopi, you're singing my song in so many different ways. You know, I'm smiling. I'm thinking about when you're talking about piloting AI solutions, you know, from a, you know, my healthcare background as an executive has been in quality, performance improvement, you know, you always do test to change. You start off small before doing wide scale. Secondly, your comment about the knowledge of AI, how we need to provide education for leadership. Training and skill set is absolutely critical. And it begs the question, who, you know, will do that training? And finally, when you're talking regulatory compliance, you know, honestly, you know, in a healthcare setting, we need to get the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid involved in this, because I do believe that there's going to be regulations around these kinds of things, you know, going forward. So very interesting comments. Thank you. Next question. How do we as leaders help bridge the generational, cultural, and economical gaps with artificial intelligence?
That is where data comes in. Like we talked about before, we have a huge data divide. We don't have historical data with which is representative, right? So any kind of AI solution needs that data set to be right in order to not exacerbate these biases, these prejudices. So that is one of the things, key things we need to do to bridge that. We need to gather. We have to be proactive. We cannot simply say it's very difficult to collect data because historically there have been consequences for minorities participating in research. So there is definitely a portion there with that, but we have to be really proactive in including all stakeholders, and that includes the whole population. So, and education doesn't necessarily mean for the healthcare personnel itself. We need to also educate the patients on the risks of AI, but also on the benefits of AI. So those kinds of, if we are, for example, like when we're saying the piloting a program, it could also be a piloting a program for how helpful AI is in mitigating these biases. In, for example, the biggest example right now is the COVID vaccines, right? How it has been implemented and the distribution of COVID vaccines. So examples like that. So education is a huge part of it. And then we have to be really proactive in collecting good data, implementing good solutions.
Right. Thank you for that, Dr. Wallaby. You know, considering, you know, given these gaps you've just addressed, do you think AI is truly making healthcare accessible?
Actually, it is. I think so. It is. Look at the amount of the diagnosis is very fast, mm-hmm. right? And then we have the COVID vaccine distribution was very fast. And we have everything like that. Yeah. So I 100% believe that, yeah, it is possible for it to be truly truly influence social determinants of health and bring together people and healthcare data, healthcare solutions. It is quite possible. We just have to be careful that we are implementing the right things.
Right. No, very, very great points. So let me ask you one last question. In your opinion, who needs to be at the table at a national level to address AI, healthcare, and equity issues?
It would be all those. Let's consider who cares about the healthcare ecosystem, right? Anyone who cares about the ecosystem needs, and who are the beneficiaries of the healthcare ecosystem, need to be there even at the national level to address this AI. So that would be the healthcare personnel. They are the clinicians, the nurses, and other personnel who are in front, like the pharmacists, healthcare staff. The algorithm touches them deeply, so they need to have a voice in its creation, in how it's implemented. Patients are the biggest consumers. That includes us too, the healthcare industry individuals. So data is being collected on us all the time, and we give these systems freely, and that data is used to inform decisions on us. So it is necessary in all of our interest to understand the basic level that it's not causing harm. So there should be at least a representation of the patient, the consumer base in addressing that. The AI developers are a big chunk of that. If those who are creating these solutions do not understand what's at stake in a healthcare environment. Healthcare is not like any other in any other technical field, right? So there are unique characteristics and unique dangers and unique needs for healthcare system. So the developers of any AI needs to be there. Then I would think the regulators, the ethicists, even lawmakers should be included in this conversation.
Yes, absolutely. We need to get all of the critical stakeholders together at the table, because this is only going to get larger. Dr. Wallaby, do you have any other final thoughts before we finish?
I think AI is here to stay, right? I mean, it is here. So ethical and responsible AI in healthcare is very critical for implementation. It's part of risk management. It's part, it's essential for compliance purposes. And it improves tremendously the quality of care. And in a sense, it is the right thing to do. So have regulatory, responsible, ethical AI.
Very good. Thank you. Dr. Wallaby, this was very informative. I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. And I want to thank our members for listening in. And thank you, everybody, you know, for being involved in this. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for having me.